The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
As a congregation seated, I invite forward everybody going back to school, preschool, middle school, high school, grad school, whatever you're doing, and all the teachers and those who support them too. We'd love to have you down front. Come on down. Here's a big easier version of it to see. It's got a person hiking and anger and a tree and our living zone. And these are the words it says. It says, anchored in faith, rooted in word, blessed by faith, ready to follow God's path. And you know what we want you to do with this button? You can put it on your backpack or on your desk or wherever it reminds us that wherever you go, God is with you. And God is going to help you to learn and grow, and your church will always be there with you. Is that something that we can remember? All right, so here's how we're going to do our blessing together. Hi, friends. Dan, we've got three more to get buttons to. That's perfect. All right. I want everybody to take your button and hold it out of your hand, and then we're going to say a prayer just like we do every week where you repeat after me. And then after we're done with this, Vicar Emily and I are going to stand up, and we'll do the sign of the cross on your button or on your forehead to remind you of this, okay? All right, here we go. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for the gift of learning.
Thank you for the gift of learning.
Thank you for those.
Thank you for those.
Who help us to learn.
Who help us to learn.
And thank you for the places.
And thank you for the places.
Where we go to school.
Where we go to school.
Help us.
Help us.
To have open minds.
To have open minds.
And good attitudes.
And good attitudes.
As we grow in faith.
As we grow in faith.
Keep us safe.
Keep us safe.
And help us.
And help us.
To love one another.
To love one another.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. Amen. All right, now, Vicar Emily and I will get up and come past us on your way back to your seat, and we will give you all a blessing as we go forth. So come on up. Okay? Blessings of your year to come, Jacob. You guys can go to either side, okay? Blessings of your year to come. Blessings of your year to come. Every time for a blessing. Blessings of your year to come. Blessings to you on your year. Blessings to you on your year. All right. Thank you, Fred.
Let us pray. May the words that dwell before us sink into the hearts and souls of all who hear and speak your truth, O God. Amen. Does that offend you? I think we have to be honest. Our world today is easily offended by, well, just about everything. Clothing and advertisements, music and movies, and of course there are people that have been labeled offensive too. With the growing connectedness of our global world, our everyday lives are filled with opinions of opposition, beliefs that are different than our own, and ideas that challenge our sense of morality. From the minute we wake up, we are faced with the other. We can't scroll down our Facebook news feeds without every other article being centered on something that offends someone. I can hardly grab a cup of coffee without overhearing a conversation that has potential to offend me as well. It's everywhere. Because we live in a world of polarity where the other is unabashedly also our neighbor. But the truth is this. Being offended is a choice. Completely a choice. Because being offended is a reaction. A reaction to something or someone. And we make the choice how we act and react. Like our Ephesians text from today, how we stand or withstand the world around us. But is being offended really so bad? The word offend can mean a lot of things. to commit an illegal act, to break a commonly accepted rule or principle, or to displease or cause to be upset. But could being offended just mean that people care, that we care, and that we're paying attention, or that we're living into the invitation to stand and withstand in our faith, to call out offenses of the world, to break the chains of commonly accepted rule or principle? Because let's be honest, Jesus was incredibly offensive. He broke commonly accepted rules and principles. He told people to eat his flesh and drink his blood, to share their possessions, to love people that were different than them. He was an offender, charged with inciting a rebellion against an empire, charged with being different. And he died on a cross for it. Jesus has been teaching something radical here. He's been teaching the people about who he is and what that means for them. And after explaining himself over and over, trying to clarify what it is he's telling them and what the bread of life is, the disciples said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But it wasn't because they couldn't understand what he was saying, but that Jesus's words were difficult to accept. And Jesus responds, "Does this offend you? Does it offend you that all people of every color and race and gender, of every social status, sexual orientation, and political party are invited to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus? Does it offend you that no matter what someone does, even if it is the worst possible thing you can think of, that nothing will separate that person from the love of God? Does it offend you that even though you are working really hard to have a great faith life, to show up to church every Sunday, to serve on ministry teams, to work with our homeless, that someone who only shows up once, or may I even say never at all, can still be saved by Jesus who loves them? It wasn't the crowds or the Jews this time who were offended by Jesus' message that he was the bread of life, a message of grace and radical love and eternal life. No, those were not the people that were offended, but the disciples, the people who were supposed to know Jesus best, the people who worked the hardest. Southern Seminary professor Brian Peterson wrote on this text, "The issue raised in this text revolves around a division between those who believe and those who do not. The text makes clear, however, that unbelief can be found not only among them on the outside, those we so easily forget or write off. The pain of unbelief is found among us, reflected in this text both in those disciples who leave and in the one who stays to betray Jesus. Where will we find ourselves in this narrative? Are we the disciples who turn and leave, or those who with Peter confess that Jesus is the one, the only one with the words of eternal life? Because you see, those same things that Jesus is asking the disciples, those things that Jesus is asking whether or not they are offended by, are the gospel. They are the good news. If you remove the phrase offend, it becomes all too clear to us that these statements are exceptional news, what we come here each week to hear. So here's that same list of offenses we heard before, but this time as God's promise. Jesus is proclaiming that you, sisters and brothers, that all people, regardless of color or race, gender, social status, sexual orientation, or political party, are invited to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus. Jesus is proclaiming that no matter what you do, if it's the worst possible thing you can think of, Jesus loves you and nothing will separate you or anyone else from that love. Jesus is proclaiming that even though you're working really hard at your faith life by showing up on Sundays and serving your neighbors, serving our homeless, serving on ministry teams, even if you never walked through these doors, Jesus still loves you and will always do so. And this is good news. And good news comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. Sometimes good news makes us squirm in our seats, both in discomfort and excitement. But this squirm is a holy and completely life-giving practice. The Holy Spirit rarely cares how comfortable we are. But this same message, this news about the bread of life, is what makes Peter say, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus is the bread of life, the Holy One of God, who brings a message of radical love and salvation to all people. To all people. Not just 12 disciples who followed him, or the people gathered in this space today, but to the whole world. The ones that we think are worthy, and the ones we'd rather not see next to us at the table. You see, the tricky part about this relentless invitation to the table is that in that moment, when we receive the fullness of Christ through the body and the blood, we too are emboldened to see the people and world around us, that which offends us, as beloved, because Jesus sees all of creation that way. And living into the fullness of Jesus means we too are called to be imitators of that unashamed love. And that is good news. Really, really good news, and also incredibly difficult to understand. Because it is offensive, and it breaks the common law and principles. But in this radical display of love, sin is replaced with eternal life. And thankfully, all offenses, those that we know and those that remain unknown, are no match for a God that knows you and loves you fully. And that is good news. And to that we say, thanks be to God. Amen.